This is Managing Mayhem,
brought to you by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
Wait, I'm sorry, they're not? Okay, well, let's get going then.
Hi, and welcome to Managing Mayhem, a workplace podcast released every 2 weeks. Each episode, we cover a new topic to help HR managers and employees navigate the daily workplace mayhem. I'm Jeff.
I'm Patty.
And I'm Jack, and I will forever force Jeff to do the intro.
This is my job, and I will at some point get it right on the first try, but...
No one knows that wasn't the first one.
I know. It sounds really good.
Fresh.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Happy holidays. Going into these holidays, we want to let you know that this is going to be our last episode before the new year, and then we will pick up on January 8th for more content.
And we look forward to season 3.
Yeah.
It's like a Marvel trilogy. Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to talk about working interviews. Interestingly, we're fielding a lot of questions in this regard. So we're going to cover what they are, why employers are doing them, and all the legal risks.
My first impulse is, why am I being interviewed? I already have the job. So obviously, I don't know what a working interview is. What is a working interview?
Well, essentially, it's where you have the applicant come to the office or the place of employment, and you have them work the job, essentially, before they're actually hired to determine if they actually have the skills to do the job, if they are qualified to do the job. It's kind of like a test run.
Okay, so you're putting them in the actual position they would maybe be doing for a trial.
Right. So, like, here's an example. You have a dentist office, and you want to see how a hygienist cleans teeth, if they're any good at it. And so you bring the candidate in, you have them clean a couple patients' teeth, and, you know, hey, you did a great job, or hey.
How'd I do?
You know, I'm sorry, but aside from the legal, it's just, like, I don't want to be that patient, the guinea pig.
Do you mind if someone who's never worked here before and we're not responsible for does my job on your mouth?
This is Susan. She's looking to be employed here. We're just going to test her skills on you.
Scalpel, Susan?
Right. I'm like, no. And did you do a background check? Or, like, what? What's her?
I never thought of that.
This is an applicant, a candidate that you're before you even want to hire them, you're saying go clean some people's teeth.
You put it on your resume. Now we're going to have you do a little walkthrough.
Let me give you another example. This is one I've been getting people asking me, and I get it. A company wants to hire a delivery driver, okay? And so they want to assess the skills. So they say, we want to do a ride along. Well, then we want the candidate to drive the truck, deliver the goods, and the interviewing supervisor wants to ride along and observe how safely they drive, how they interact with customers, kind of a real life hypothetical.
I mean, it kind of makes sense. You want to see if they can actually perform the job in the situation that they're going to be in.
Right.
So is that why employers do it? Why do they tend to do this kind of thing?
Well, I do think it's the old test before you invest.
That's an absolute rhyme.
Hey, I've never thought of that. That's a little slogan.
Put it on a bumper sticker.
Before they get them on payroll and invest in them, give them benefits, they want to make sure they're qualified. So that's one thing. And then they also say, well, it's really a more in-depth, real-life assessment of their skills.
Right.
Let's be real. We've all slightly embellished our resumes at times to say we got, you know, we meet the qualifications, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I applied for a job in college that was with a law practice, and one of the requirements was you need to be proficient in QuickBooks, like the accounting software. And I was like, I
can do that. I know what that is.
I've done that once, and I went in there, and I was not qualified for that at all. I had no idea what I was doing.
You're like, wait, you're going to ask me to do the thing I said I could do?
I can change the coffee filters, but this is a little outside my wheelhouse all of a sudden.
I thought we would warm up to Excel.
I thought there'd be a little introductory period.
Totally.
So I think about when I look at these working interviews, because I've never done one, I'm like, well, they're probably a couple jobs I would not have gotten, but for...
the lack of a working interview.
Right.
Exactly.
But for them actually asking you to do what you say you can do immediately.
Right, right.
I remember that someone wanted me to be a data entry clerk, and I'm like, well, I know how to type. I can enter data, and it was a new computer, never used a computer.
It's hell.
It's a disaster.
Well, especially like those old computers, they weren't super user friendly. It's not like a MacBook, no. You know? It's like
NASA.
Right, right.
The satellite in my living room. I guess I did have a time where I got a job because I avoided a working interview at a restaurant. And I went in and they were like, can you open a bottle of wine? Like, do you have a wine key on you?
You cracked it against a boat.
But I actually was like, oh no, like I'm going to lose this job. But they were really busy, the restaurant. And so the manager who was like asking me to work there, just they needed someone. And then someone was like, hey, like tried to get her attention. Who was working there and like, we need help. And she was like, okay, whatever. Just come in on Tuesday. And I was like,
perfect.
Yeah.
And then I slowly worked towards opening a bottle of wine.
Ooh.
Little tricks where I would turn my back to the people.
I still can't do it.
It's hard.
So I guess that test before you invest in the more in-depth assessment of skills would be a couple reasons.
What's the problem with them then?
The problem is they're illegal if you're not going to pay the person. And most employers want to test them before having to pay them and put them on the payroll. So, but if you don't pay the person being interviewed, basically, you're getting free labor for the benefit of the employer.
So this would only apply if the interview involved them doing a task that benefited the company?
Yes, like serving a patron, cleaning someone's teeth,
right,
delivering goods to a store, driving in the course and scope of business. That is all what they call inuring to the benefit of the employer. That is labor.
Okay.
Anything that goes to suffering for the employer is... needs to be compensated. And so people don't do it. And then all of a sudden you have wage and hour violations. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the biggest issue with these.
You're just not paying someone to perform a job.
Right.
They're
right.
Performing a job that someone needs to do that day and they're not being paid.
And Jeff doesn't invent that word. He's not inventing the word suffer. That's in the 1929 law that defines labor, yeah. Suffering for an employer. I guess they had a pretty negative perspective. But think about it. He's saying, Patty, I want you to come in and try a case for us so that we can see how good you are as a trial attorney. Well, they're getting the benefit of me trying a case for free under the guise of it's a working interview. And that's illegal. If anything that's truly benefiting the employer is something that actually has to be paid. Another concern is that if they're not an employee and they are injured during that working interview, you don't have workers' comp on them. And so you're going to be liable because you have workers' compensation insurance on your employees.
Okay, so you have to treat them like an employee on more than one front then. It's not even just payment if they're going to, again, be on the site, whatever it is, doing that job.
Right, that's the risk of not having them on payroll as an employee during the working interview. I mean, the other issue is if they have an accident with a third party or the dental hygienist, does some damage, right?
This wasn't a tooth removal?
Right, not qualified. So there's that concern as well. Another concern, this is more of just kind of your own security as far as if you want to bring them in as do a working interview and you show them all of your confidential and proprietary information and all of a sudden they have the recipe to Coke or whatever, they've got, your
secret sauce.
Pertinent information, right.
Your secret sauce, right.
Stop saying secret sauce, everyone.
Mayonnaise and ketchup. It's a 50-50. They know it. It's out there. I mean.
It's not a secret.
Right. So. You have to be concerned about that. And that's like on the scale of what to be worried about. It's pain, workers' comp accidents. And then lastly, it's like, the secret sauce as well. You don't want that out there. But
right. So what should a company do?
Well, if they really want to do working interviews, they need to hire them as a temporary employee for a few days, a trial period, put them on the payroll, get an I-9, have them fill out a W-4. Set them up in the payroll for those mandatory tax withholdings and unemployment insurance. And you need to pay them at least minimum wage. You don't have to pay them the wage you're going to eventually pay them. But for this trial period, you have to pay them at least minimum wage and you have to pay overtime if they work over 40 hours in a work week. That's the first solution.
Right.
So the trial period, it does not have to be the same pay that they will be paid for the position eventually.
No.
Interesting. Okay.
The other thing you can do is you can hire them through a temp agency and then have the agency pay them. And hopefully they're paid correctly to the temp agency, but it's not your problem at that point in time. But it is kind of, you're using someone else and, it's an extra layer in there. But
I remember people at the temp agency I worked at, they'd temp at a front desk and then they would get the call that they were hired full time.
Such glory.
Yeah.
The claw. And then they'd go and the temp, rest of us temps would sit and wait. I think I have a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think I might have actually done a working interview, kind of. I think at Book of Mormon, they technically kind of did one where you had to learn. They hired you for a week when you got to a certain point in the audition process. They said, we want to put you through this camp phase where you have to learn the show, show us you can do the show under pressure. We'll tape it and send it off to producers, whatever. But they paid you for the week of rehearsal.
Exactly. That's Broadway's doing it right. You were a temporary employee. They withheld taxes, but it was only guaranteed for a week during Book of Mormon callback.
And then it wasn't the same pay as when I got the job. So that's interesting too.
Exactly. So that's a lawful working interview where they paid them. Yay for Broadway.
Golf clap.
Golf clap.
Golf clap.
Now, a few things I see that people do wrong is they say, can we just make them independent contractor and 1099 them? Jeff, you've seen that too.
What does that imply if they do that?
Well, an independent contractor, it's only applicable if they're truly independent. And that's usually where they all fail because they're...
Okay.
They're at your office, they're under your control, they're using your equipment to do the work or try it out. And so just labeling them an independent contractor doesn't really shield you.
Right, because an independent contractor, you have your own business, you know.
Right. So if let's say they were trying to do that, then you would have to prove that that employee was in fact an independent contractor for that to even check out, which wouldn't happen.
There's no way it's going to be classified as an independent contractor because the whole goal is for them to be hired on. And so unless they have their own business, truly, it's never going to pass that. So that's not really an option.
Such a weird thing to do. Don't do that.
Being a volunteer is not an option. Like,
nope.
I love it. They're going to be a volunteer to our for-profit company. Yeah. No.
Right. No. Can't do that. That's not allowed.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Okay. So what are some other options you can use that aren't working interviews when you're looking to evaluate candidates?
Well, I think you need to assess if you're considering the working interview or you've been doing them, why? What's the motivating purpose? And, you know, as we've talked about, typically it's because you want to make sure they can actually do the job on day one, and you don't want to have kind of a bad hire and ultimately have to terminate them because they're not qualified.
And that makes a lot of sense too, because there are a lot of high stakes jobs where you can't afford to train someone on the job, or there are performance oriented jobs. So that is a valuable tool if used correctly.
Like, everyone's trying to avoid hiring someone and then a month in realizing this person doesn't know what they're doing.
A welder.
Right. You know? And they have to know how to do this. And so I think you can definitely look at skills tests. You can look at evaluating candidates with just scenarios, hypotheticals, mock performances. Give them real world scenarios that isn't, hey, drive the delivery truck to our 6 locations.
Right.
Right. You know, it's always shocking to me that people don't do more skills tests, that they're just relying on the job application.
This is a great resume.
Yeah, you're going to check.
You promised you could do it. You promised you could work the welder.
You're good at QuickBooks.
You said.
You know, obviously you're going to check references. Right. You should be checking references. But for example, you could do a driving test in a parking lot and have, you know, a mock customer, you know, have an employee come out and you're pretending they're a customer and have a mock performance scenario. And that's not for the benefit of the employer as customers, because they're not, you're not performing actual labor that benefits them. You're just doing a skills test. I'm shocked that people don't have to do math tests or have to do QuickBooks tests or some type of word processing.
Show your work.
Right.
So I have a question. If you're doing a kind of interview where there's an assessment or you're doing a trial drive, but it doesn't benefit the employer, is there any time where there's a certain time that it takes up that it starts to have to be compensated for? Or can any interview process be as long as it needs to be or as time consuming for the candidate as possible?
It just can't. It can be as long as possible. You're going to lose candidates, right? They're going to not want to complete whatever assessment you're doing. But as long as it doesn't benefit the employer, you know,
that's the only criteria.
That's really it.
The other thing is, make sure you're checking with your insurance company. If you're going to have them driving on your property, are they covered? Do you need to see? You need to see their driver's license. You're still going to have property liability issues, so make sure you're doing that.
Because you do take on a risk if you are having somebody come and drive a vehicle and you're not employing them and you're not paying them. It's all stuff to consider.
To me, anything with driving, I'd rather you rely on references, a motor vehicle check, and have a trial period for them than actually have them driving around and having the same liability risk. But what I don't understand is why people don't do mock sales.
Yeah.
You know, sell me something, you know, perform. I mean, it's not like
dance,
perform,
monkey.
Child.
Right.
I think there's a lot of great options of hypotheticals, skills tests, panels that you're interviewed in front of. You're given scenarios. People just aren't utilizing those, and those can be unpaid. One last thing I want people to be careful, though, is sometimes that unpaid interview becomes training. And if you're training them to do the job, like, we're not just going to do a written test. We're going to tell you this is how we do this job, and we want you to learn how to do the job and then show us how you do the job. That gets dangerous too, because that's for the benefit of the employer if you're training them in the job.
You're front loading the onboarding and you know, you're saying, hey, this is part of the interview process. Really, it's onboarding. It would be onboarding.
We're teaching you how things
go around
here.
Much like in Book of Mormon, Jack, where they, when they were paying you, were they teaching you how to do the songs? Were they doing the scene?
Yeah, they were teaching me how to deliver their product the way they needed it to be delivered. Yeah.
Right. And so that was going to be for their benefit if they hired you, which they did, that you would be shortened on your training before they could put you on stage.
Whoa, that's super interesting. Oh,
they had someone who...
They had an HR department.
And they were like, you know what? We should be paying Jack Ball and all the others.
It is interesting, the training. I would never have thought interview as training, because it makes sense. When you're coming to an interview, you're just saying, these are my skills and this is what I do. You're not being taught how to do something as it's to be done.
Right. So, you know, the moral of the story is, if you want to get outside the traditional interview, contact us, contact legal, get some alternative solutions, but make sure you're not doing unpaid working interviews where it benefits the employer or you're serving customers or patients. Right. That is illegal. So
if you're interested in doing those kind of interviews, but your company also can't afford it, there's got to be some other option.
There are lots of options. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we are going to be done for the holiday season in terms of podcasts. We'll still be working.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
We are returning on January 8th. We hope everyone has an amazing holiday season. Mm-hmm. And our SHRM code today is 24GUZZD, as in David. That's 24...
Guzzd.
G-U-Z-Z-D. And hope you guys have a great holiday season. I know I'll see you and talking to you guys, but...
Have a great holiday.
Stay warm.
Have a mayhem-free holiday season, and...
I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know if it is either, but we'll catch you after it, so...
See you on the other side.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely